Hey everybody, welcome to episode 16 of the Feel Your Photos SEO for Photographers podcast. It's Dylan and Corey, and today we're going to talk about algorithm changes and how to diagnose a rankings drop.
Yes, this is such an important skill as someone who's going to be managing your own SEO, or even if you have someone else managing your SEO, just to be able to monitor yourself and understand, even if it doesn't have to do with an algorithm change, if your rankings are dropping or increasing, knowing why that's happening can be so helpful in understanding what to do or not to do in the future.
Yeah, I feel like these drops are such a source of anxiety. And I guess I'll say one thing before the start, that over the last, 6 or 8 years of really tracking SEO rankings on a daily basis, most of the third-party ranking trackers that have shown me massive drops have been inaccurate. So don't let them scare you.
That's, I think, every time someone logs into a rank tracking tool or Search Console or whatever they're using and they see a major drop, their heart sinks immediately. Like, what's happening? But immediately you have to just calm down and say, okay, well, there's probably more to this. Let me analyze it before I freak out. And even if it is an actual drop, it's always going to help to approach it from a place of being calm and factual and thinking things through without making any rash decisions.
For sure. Yeah. Don't delete your site. I guess the first thing then is give some time. A lot of these drops are going to happen, but they might not be perfectly static in the coming few days. And they also, you need some time to get accurate data. And the most accurate data on these is going to come from Google Search Console, mm-hmm. which is typically on a 2-day delay for most sites.
You're going to get your most, I think in Search Console, the fully propagated data is 3 days behind.
Yep.
And you could get as recent as 1 day ago, but it's going to be maybe half of the data. So it's just going to kind of give you an idea. So you're really going to need, how long would you say you need to wait to get Search Console data?
I typically want to wait at least a week, but probably 2 weeks. And I say that because if you look at one specific day versus the same day the previous week, there could be a 20% difference in clicks just without any ranking changes, just from normal variances in activity.
Right. I mean, there's a lot of different kinds of things like that that can happen, whether it's seasonal or whether it's just people don't search on the weekend or whatever it is. You could have day-to-day swings in Search Console that are pretty drastic.
I've been fooled by holidays many times in the past where I look at a site and it's 30% down on a Monday and I'm like, what is this? And it's it's Memorial Day or something.
Yeah, or even the entire week of Thanksgiving or Christmas or between Christmas and the New Year. People just take off during those weeks.
Exactly. Yeah, those are always massive sources of anxiety to see the numbers go down that far. But anyways, I think waiting for 2 weeks of data is really nice because then you can look at the entire week average compared to the week average before. Mm-hmm. Things like that are going to just give you much more actionable data rather than trying to grasp what's going on with your entire website based on a few clicks on one day.
We're going to give some examples here later of what kinds of different hypotheses you can make to figure out what might be happening. But for right now, one thing that's coming to my mind is that there's certain times whenever you need to just wait. Could be 2 weeks, could be a month, could be 3 months. But there's other times, if certain things are happening, that you could probably find it pretty much immediately and fix it. In fact, sometimes we've seen cases, especially this year and last year, where pages would, they would be used, somebody would be using a tracking tool. And let's say they're tracking a specific keyword, and all of a sudden they would drop to, less than 100 or not tracked at all. It's just dropping off the map. And then we would look and see that their homepage wasn't even indexed. like that kind of stuff, sometimes you can find out immediately and you know clearly, oh, this isn't ranking because it's not indexed. I need to submit this again or something.
Yeah, while you're waiting for this search data to come through that is going to be diagnosing things like how the search engine results pages have changed or how your content is being just assessed differently. Definitely dive into those technical issues. Indexation, make sure your pages are indexed. Make sure you're not, you didn't accidentally no index all of your pages or something. Make sure that your server is up and that Google can crawl your site and things like that.
Yeah, you'd be surprised. We've seen that kind of stuff quite a bit where something will be causing Google not to be able to access that. And so for those things, you can use something like a simple site search in Google. So do a site colon and then your domain without a space after the colon. And that should show you what's indexed, or try that on a specific page. And that should show you if that page is indexed. You could also use a cache instead of site in front of the domain. So cache colon your domain to see if there's a recent cached version. Sometimes that will work. And then outside of that, you could also use something like mobile-friendly testing tool, or I guess the structured data testing tool is going away. Is it still around?
It's still working.
Those kinds of tools that Google uses to, or even the, what's it called? The PageSpeed Insights. Like any of these will often, when you run the test, it will show you whether Google is able to render the HTML, the JavaScript, the images, things like that. So doing these kinds of tests to see, is Google still finding the information accurately? I would say that could probably be step one. If you notice a drastic decrease, it's a sharp drop off, checking to make sure your page is still indexed, checking to ensure that Google can still access the page. Those would be the first steps that you do immediately, because if that's broken, you can fix it right now and get your rankings back usually pretty quickly.
Gosh, I'm trying to think of any other technical things like that. I think the last one that I've seen cause issues is sometimes like server misconfigurations where a redirect was removed, or like an HTTP to HTTPS redirect was removed, causing Google to index both and mess up rankings. If you've ever done previous migrations and have redirects from that previous domain, I've seen sites where that domain expired and that can cause issues.
Yeah, man, there's so many weird little things.
Yeah.
Like even I've seen people set up WP Rocket, and when they're logged in, everything looks great. But when they're logged out, it's completely broken.
Yeah. Or on WP Rocket desktop versus mobile. I've seen people have completely broken mobile experiences due to different performance plugins like that. Mm-hmm. And Google's crawling the mobile version of your site.
So yeah, whole point here is, first of all, check technical issues. I think all the things that I mentioned here before would help you diagnose whether that's the case. And like, you know, if you do that site search and you see that there's like 10,000 new pages indexed that are all hacked, well, that's probably going to be a problem. I've had that happen to me before. It can happen. But those should be relatively apparent with just minimal investigation using the things that I just mentioned here. But that's not always going to be how, it's not going to always be that easy. Sometimes you're going to have to do a lot more digging and you're going to have to give it some time. So let's go into kind of the more common Google dance where you're going to have rankings that fluctuate. You're going to have things that go up and down over time, and you need to figure out why and how you can win it back.
Yeah. So we've waited 14 days for content and you jump into your search console. Where do you typically go next? What do you look at?
For me, I think I'm going to go into the performance report, and I'm probably going to do a date compare, and I'm going to pick a date range. If we waited 2 weeks, then I'm going to pick a 2 weeks time whenever I was at the peak. And then I'm going to take the previous 2 weeks whenever it's lower, and I'm going to compare those. I want to make sure only one variable is enabled. So here I would say probably clicks. You could do impressions either way, but one or the other is enabled. And then you're going to have a compare column that you can sort by. That's going to tell you which, by default, it's going to show you which queries have, you know, either lost or gained impressions. But you could also flip over to pages and see which pages have lost or gained impressions or clicks, whichever you're looking at. And so that is going to help you narrow down where the major problem lies, especially if you're looking at, like, let's say I came into Search Console and I'm seeing a major decline overall in my traffic. that's where that's really going to help. But if you just opened up SEO Edge and you saw, hey, this went down from like page one, like I'm position 5 and now I'm position 50, what would you do then?
Yeah, I mean, I think it would be somewhat similar, where I would come in and do the same comparison and just get that first broad view, like, okay, SEO Edge is telling me that I had this huge drop. Has my traffic changed? Once I've gotten that out of the way, I would look at the average rankings and go into the exact query that I was tracking in SEO Edge and see if it's showing a change. And then I would even go further and click on the device tab and look at, has that query's ranking changed on desktop versus mobile searches? Because SEO Edge is, I believe, typically looking at mobile searches, and it's also localized to where you're tracking from. So it's, yeah, you can spend some time digging to kind of try to figure out why SEO Edge is reporting the number it is. But I think that it's just a starting point, because Search Console is going to have better, more actionable data that's actually representative of real life results. So you're pretty much looking for a reason to either affirm or just completely deny the SEO Edge ranking.
Yeah, that makes sense. You know, that brings up an interesting scenario that I have seen happen many times, where you notice that there's a drop either locally or nationally, but not the other. So for example, let's say you're ranking really well for Portland elopement photographer locally. If you search in Portland anywhere, you're ranking page one, position one. But if you search from South Carolina, you're like third page. Or, you know, the opposite happens, where in South Carolina, you're page one, position one, but you search anywhere in Portland and you're third page. You know, those kinds of things can happen, where either like Google has started to heavily rely on local signals for that particular query, or local signals have changed or you know, more important for your site. That's a pretty interesting scenario.
Yeah, I see that all the time.
what do you do to check that? Like, I guess you can, if you're in the area that you're trying to rank for, so if you are in Portland and you're trying to rank in Portland, you could just do an incognito search and see. Do you have any type of tool or anything you use to change your location?
There are different browser extensions you can use that will allow you to set your IP address's location. I'm not sure how accurate they are. I've only used them a handful of times. It's something that
if you had one.
Exactly. Yeah, if you had a VPN, you could try to set it to a different state or something.
Ask a friend in another.
Yeah, we've definitely done that. I mean, multiple times in our Facebook groups before, we've said like, hey, like we're just interested to see how this query's rankings, like first page, changes based on where people are searching from around the country and world. But yeah, that's a really interesting problem, and it really can have drastic effects depending on if most of your potential clients are searching from outside of the US, or if they're searching from outside of the state or the city, or if they're all local clients that you're trying to target just for your city. I know that I've talked to a few people that are based in Europe, and they're only targeting English-speaking U.S. citizens that are searching from abroad about European topics.
Right.
So like for them, they need to be in the Search Console locations tab and looking only at U.S. data, if that's what they're most interested in.
Yeah, that's interesting for sure. So kind of one of the points we're getting at here is you may see that one of your tools is talking about a decrease in ranking that isn't even meaningful to your business, as long as it's not affecting you locally. That could be one example. In other words, you need to know what your tools are telling you. You can't just take the number and believe it at face value.
I think we make this point at least once every podcast, but SEO rank trackers are like one singular point in time, and all of these variables that we're talking about, from device type to location, searcher history, any of those personalization factors, they're static. So you're looking at like one specific ranking on that tool where it says you're in a certain position, where Google is looking at all of the searches that happened and giving you an average ranking, which is just a much, much better metric.
Yep. One more thing while we're talking about average rankings that I brought up recently when I was making a video, I looked at a comparison of something like a 2-week stretch, or maybe it was a month. I think it was a 2-week stretch when I was at a peak and a 2-week stretch when I was at a low. So we just mentioned doing that a few minutes ago. But one of the things to be careful of there is looking at the average for that 2 weeks, because you could be, you know, position 10 for half of that time and position one for half of that time and see an average of 5 and think, oh, I was position 5 2 weeks ago, when realistically, you know, you were in a major swing at that point. So make sure you're looking at the actual days in that spread to see like what was happening. What are the typical swings that you see in a week, et cetera. Hopefully that's making sense. I know that might be kind of hard when you don't have a visual to go along with it with a podcast. Yeah. But.
Another point, and I think we've kind of made this already, but just that the change in overall impressions and the change in overall clicks is going to be a much more meaningful piece of information than any individual ranking changes. So I definitely do like to look at the traffic and impressions when diagnosing these issues, and not as much the individual rankings.
Yeah, it's an interesting point too when you start bringing SERP features into the mix. Featured snippets, people also ask, map packs,
much different,
all of these that can kind of, they can count as a position. But if you drop one position, you could decrease your click-through rate by 40% or something like that, you know, because you're below one of these features now. Or if you had the featured snippet before, Search Console might still show you in position 1, but then you drop down to like the first organic and you don't have the featured snippet anymore. You know, what happens to your click-through rate? What is there a big difference because your position moved down, or maybe your click-through rate went up?
It's better.
You know?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think the next point is to group the pages, I like to look at topics, but I like to kind of try to group all of the pages that were winners and all the pages that were losers and try to look for common themes, both in what type of information is being presented, how is it presented on the page, is it new content, is it old content, is it short, is it long, did I build links to it, did I not? Looking for any sort of common themes. And I like to do that analysis more than just like tracking Portland Wedding Photographer, which is my old main like head term for my site, and looking at like, how did that rank change? That's a less interesting game for me, I guess.
Yeah, that's something that happens all the time in our Facebook groups, is people will say, my rankings are down, my rankings are down. And we'll ask them, do you mean that your ranking is down for one keyword, or are your rankings down across your entire domain and all your pages? Both can happen, right? Like you could literally have a ranking decrease across every page because of some authority issue or penalty or whatever. No indexing all your pages accidentally. Like all of those things could happen and you could have major problems. But more often, it's people are worried about one keyword is dropping. And when you go look at the page, let's just say, you know, what you said earlier, what was it? Portland Wedding Photographer. If you looked at your Search Console and you saw that Portland Wedding Photographer was down 4 positions, but then you look and see which page is Portland Wedding Photographer driving traffic to? It's my homepage. Okay. Let's look at my homepage and see overall over the past week, is it up or down in clicks and impressions? And you see, oh, wait, it's up significantly in clicks. What in the world is happening? And you could realize, maybe that one keyword you were tracking, Portland Wedding Photographer, wasn't the most searched phrase. Now, in that case, it probably is. But let's just say it's, you know, wedding photographer in Portland, Oregon, as an example. And all of a sudden, you moved up a little bit for that, even though you moved down for Portland Wedding Photographer. But now you're getting significantly more clicks. Things like that have happened all the time when I've gone and analyzed this kind of stuff.
100%. Yep. Yeah. And that, I mean, that could be a simple change of like Google recommending a different keyword in the auto suggest or something.
That's so true.
Yeah.
Yep.
Let's see what other, let's do, I guess recent site changes. I think we kind of talked about this. I'm not sure if we did it already, but.
Well, I think as we, what we are talking about now is we've looked at the fact that something's happened, right? We've decided that our ranking has changed or traffic has changed. We've looked at the data. We've talked about tools you can use to test. We've done some kind of initial poking. Now it's time that we start to make a hypothesis. We have to start to say, all this has changed. I'm not sure why, but I'm going to make some guesses so that I can start testing. So I guess now we want to dig into some examples of things that are, you know, possibilities, some things that could be theories you could have. If you're new to this or you haven't done this a lot, you might need some guidance on what should I start with? What should I guess first?
Yeah, totally.
And I think recent site changes is a great place to start.
Good place to start. I think one point I want to make about recent site changes is that a lot of these changes will affect your rankings more or less like within days. So like if you change a site title or make some content adjustments, you can affect your rankings over the short term. But larger like structural changes, like maybe you totally redesign your site, maybe you move it to a new platform, maybe you significantly improve in performance. A lot of those changes sometimes aren't given the full weight in the algorithm until there's an algorithm update. And Google then reassesses a lot of their site-wide metrics and might say like, hey, this site used to be slow, but now it's pretty fast. And you might see an overall lift that maybe you've moved to the new fast server and changed and become AMP valid 3 months ago, but there hasn't been an algorithm update. And so that algorithm update hits and all of a sudden your site skyrockets. That sort of thing can happen.
Yeah. And that's a good thing to bring up here. Like what is recent and what's the kind of cadence that you should be looking at whenever you're thinking about when's the last time I made changes? I mean, there's new core algorithm updates pretty much monthly, but that doesn't mean that every one of those is going to consider every factor, right? So it could be every 3 months that they have an update that even has any impact on local signals. Mm-hmm. So I would say at least a 90 day, like what changes have I made in the past 90 days is a good place to start.
Yep. Outside of that, I think looking at the changes to your the competition. So look at what pages are now ranking above you that weren't before. Have they improved the content? Have they improved their sites? Have they built backlinks to their sites? I think we've seen that in like the wedding photographer space where a certain photographer might have won some major awards and had 15 features in the last quarter. That significantly can improve their rankings. And so it might not be anything that you did wrong on your site or any changes that you've made, but they've made changes and they're positive, and it has to hurt somebody when their rankings improve. So,
yeah, it's funny because there's an analogy that Google gives in one of their guides about this, and they talked about ranking a list of the top 100 movies. And let's say you made that list in 2015 and you want to update it in 2019. Well, there's going to be new movies that are going to be at the top of the list because they didn't exist in 2015. But that doesn't mean that the ones that are moving down were bad movies. It's just that now there's new things to consider. And you might even find that the movies from 2015 that were, you know, on your list deserve to be higher now that you compare them against kind of the newer movies. So that's kind of the normal process of reindexing the web and changing the rankings based on what they're finding. It's funny. I had this exact same thing happen to me. I did a ranking analysis for a course video recently. And I was analyzing one of the pages on my own site that was a big traffic driver and had dropped. And it ended up that this was the thing that caused the drop. There was a competitor who came in, and the competitor just basically wrote another piece of content almost exactly like mine. They weren't copying it or anything. It's just that the right kind of content for this particular query was this type of guide. They wrote their version of it. It had a lot of the same points in it. But they're also a little bit more authoritative. They have an SEO agency. They have a YouTube channel that's really active. The topic was around YouTube, so that helped the fact that they had more content on their domain that's YouTube-centric and SEO-centric. So the whole thing was, even though they just came in and made something about the same quality as mine, all of the other metrics that went into it made it so theirs was a better result ahead of mine.
Dang. Bummer.
It sucks, but yeah, there's ways that I can come back and improve the content significantly, and I think even outweigh those.
That's awesome. I think the next thing I would look at, if you have access to an SEO tool that allows you to see competitors' backlinks, is just I pull up the pages that are ranking and see, are there new backlinks to this page? And then the second thing I do is just look at their overall domain and see what the velocity of new backlinks looks like. Are they adding more backlinks than they had been in the past, or roughly the same rate, or are their backlinks steady or even going down? Just to quickly see if there's any competition from that angle.
Sounds good. And if you don't have access to one of those SEO tools, you can usually get a free trial from either SEMrush, Ahrefs, or Moz. Any of those three would let you check those things. And sometimes you can even get a free account that will let you check like one URL per day or something along those lines. So you should be able to check those.
Yeah. I guess next.
What about if the entire intent behind a SERP change? So a SERP, search engine result page, an entire keyword is what I'm trying to say. Let's say that, you know, someone is searching for Portland elopement photographers, and Google decides that based on the top 20, the corpus, as we call it, the whatever number of pages they're analyzing that they consider qualified for that, suddenly they realize that the real intent here is places to elope in Oregon. Mm-hmm. That's just an example, and maybe that happens sometimes. And your list doesn't include places to elope. Do you see that kind of thing happening often?
Yeah, I would say that this is, like, that would be an extreme case. And usually it's a much more granular, like a slight difference in if they think that a wedding photographer's homepage should be shown, or more directories should be shown, or more wedding blogs featuring examples of work in that city should be shown, or things like that. Like,
yeah. So is it topic based? Is it entity based? Is it, you know, are they looking for information? What's that kind of intent behind?
Yeah. Google? Yeah. And so that, I think, is always kind of shifting. Google's always looking for the answers that are going to solve the searcher's problems best, and what gives them the best user metrics.
In the photography space, what I'll often see, to kind of go along with what you're talking about there, is that a query will start off showing blog posts and informational posts. And over time, Google will realize that they're looking for a photographer, and then it will shift more to an entity-based query. Yeah. And if you're wondering what we're talking about with entity-based versus, you know, topic-based, I think we talked about that in the last episode when we were talking about cornerstone content, didn't we?
Yeah, we did. Yep. Covered that pretty well. Yeah. And I think, I mean, these are just really important to keep up with. I'm trying to think of some examples I've seen in the recent algorithm update. I know that one that my site ranks for is the term best wedding blogs, and like lots of different searches kind of similar to that. And Google is showing my list of wedding blogs. They used to show a featured snippet with like the top 10 wedding blogs. Before that, it was literally the actual wedding blogs ranking. So it was like Green Wedding Shoes and Style Me Pretty and that kind of site that was ranking. So over time, Google's realized that people doing that search actually want a list of wedding blogs on a site and not just the individual wedding blogs themselves, which is kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of a reverse entity based.
Yeah, that's true. It makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cool. So what other types of hypotheses would you make?
Yeah. So we have technical, we have site changes, competition improving, intent shift. I mean, outside of that, I would look at, does Google still trust the content of your site and you as a author, I guess, or as an expert on the topic?
Has Google turned their back on you?
Exactly. Which, I mean, a huge part of the algorithm is just trying to figure out, is this a source of information that users can trust? Is this information that we're comfortable showing users? Because by them ranking a site high in search results, it's kind of an approval or of some sort, mm-hmm. that they've vetted this information as being worthwhile.
Because if it's bad, their product is bad.
Exactly. And so that's a huge, huge deal, is like just making sure that you're showing to Google that you're a valid source of information, that you're trustworthy, that you're not putting up just like blatantly false information or lies or, I don't know.
Yeah.
Fake news.
You know, there's one thing we haven't mentioned yet that I see happen all the time here. If you see that your site is decreasing in ranking for a particular query, sometimes what will happen is a different page on your site will be ranking instead. So you have keyword cannibalization happening, and Google is testing a new page on your site that it thinks might also be relevant or more relevant for that query.
That's a really good point. I've seen that more times than I'd want to admit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I think that's, so once you have these hypotheses, what then are you going to do with it?
Yeah, I think, you know, I'm going to go back to kind of the stuff we talked about in the very beginning. I'm going to start doing some more testing and poking and seeing whether or not I can like find any evidence for my hypothesis. If I can find that, oh yeah, it's clear that there's competition above me now and the quality is better for their content. Or, oh yeah, there's a possibility the intent could have shifted here because now they're showing an image pack where they weren't before. Or whatever, you know, I'm going to go and I'm going to look at the actual server. I'm going to do some competitive analysis and I'm going to find out, is that making sense? And at that point, if I'm confirming my feelings or my hypothesis, I would start by making one change at a time and giving it another week or two to see how it impacts ranking. I will say though, this is an interesting point too. It kind of goes back to some more testing I was doing on my site this year. One time I saw a drop, analyzed it, came up with some thoughts on why it was dropping, made some changes, saw immediate recovery to some extent, like maybe 60% recovery or something like that. And I was like, okay, I fixed it, left it alone, came back a month later. And I was like, oh crap, that fixed it for like 2 days and it went back down even further.
Oh no.
So if you fix something or you make something worse, sometimes you really need to give it another week or two and check again, but you have to kind of keep checking in until you see like a constant, like it's back to where you expect it to be for a period of time, you know, weeks or something like that.
Yeah. One theory that a few people that I've talked to in the past on much larger sites, but I think that it's much easier to diagnose algorithm changes and ranking drops on a large site because you have so much data.
Mm-hmm.
You have so many pages, so many queries, so many rankings that you can really see trends. But I think the theory that is kind of like, I don't know, the best way to handle these drops right now is what they call the kitchen sink theory, where they throw the kitchen sink at the problem if they see a massive algorithm change negatively affecting them.
Interesting.
They're not just going to change like, oh, I'm just going to change my page title structure. They're going to say, we're going to make better page titles. We're going to look at the way that all of our content is displayed, like at the template level. We're going to improve performance. We're going to do a audit of our backlink profile to see if we need to work on it in any ways. And we're going to do as much as we possibly can in the next quarter, pretty much, so that when the next algorithm update hits, it hopefully responds positively to at least get out of the hole that they're in and hopefully come out on top.
I think that's going to be the case if you're seeing a site-wide drop.
Yeah.
Oh, for sure. And there's not any of those initial technical issues that we came up with that are preventing Google from crawling your site. That's when you would want to do something like that kitchen sink.
Yeah.
Don't you think? I mean, like if you have one page that's tanked,
if
everything else
page,
is stable.
Yeah.
you don't want to make too many changes to your site, probably.
For sure. I 100% agree. Oh. Yep. Let's see here.
Why don't we talk a little bit about algorithm changes in general and sure. I guess maybe where to get some reliable information about whether the algorithm has changed and what kind of sites it's impacting and what other SEO pros are seeing and saying about algorithm changes.
Yeah. So there are a few tools that track a basket of websites on a daily basis to get an idea of if there's a lot of churn in the algorithm or a lot of changes going on. A few of the favorites are Algoroo, Semrush Sensor, and Moz's Mozcast. And we'll have links to all of these in the show notes. But they pretty much have different metrics. Typically, it's like a 0 to 100 scale or something like that that just shows how much the algorithm is changing on that day. And if you see spikes, you're typically seeing a broad algorithm change.
Yeah. Yeah. Basically, I mean, just to kind of recap what you just said in other words, these tools, let's say they are tracking 1 million sites or 100,000 sites or whatever. They track keywords and pages across those sites and they track position differences. And if there's, you know, the score at the end is huge differences and they give it a highly volatile score. So when you look at these sites, you'll understand exactly what we're talking about. But some of them based on temperature or whatever, but it's just, it's interesting to see, is this normal? Like I'm seeing some swings today. Is this just like the typical daily changes or is this like a really wild day when lots of people are seeing like massive changes?
Yeah. And I've used this in the past where I didn't know there was an algorithm update and maybe it was like a month previous. And so I was able to look back at these different sites and see, here's the date that my site traffic dropped and then compare it to those to see like, was there an algorithm update that day?
Mm-hmm.
And many of these sites are interesting because they not only look at the web as a whole, but they'll look at specific categories.
Mm-hmm.
So you can just look at like arts and entertainment sites or something right. like that to see if they're specifically hit.
And that can be a good way to tell, is the recent algorithm change specific to an industry? Because sometimes that happens. Yeah. You'll see like the medical industry gets affected or, you know, whatever else it is.
Yeah, totally. Outside of those, a few Twitter accounts to follow. John Mueller, he's a search, is he search liaison?
Can't remember Google. The exact title. I can't remember if that's him or Danny Sullivan.
Yeah, he's just a good guy to follow on Twitter. He'll post usually a funny GIF or something every time there's a Google algorithm update, but he also posts like helpful information.
Yeah.
He has a thing for banana photos. I don't know.
Yeah. You'll also see him sometimes kind of confirming or denying certain things that other people are saying on Twitter.
Yeah.
Or like bringing some sense back into silly conversations that SEOs are having on Twitter. He's a cool guy. He just likes to like come in there and be like, okay, guys, it's not like that. Or, yeah, you're right. There's definitely something happening. I can't say much about it, but there's something happening.
The next one is Systrix, which they're kind of like a commercial or like a larger scale version of Ahrefs and SEMrush. And they just have really good data on the web as a whole. And they typically tweet about algorithm updates in real time and what data they're seeing and what industries and sites are affected. The next one is Search Liaison, and is that Cuts or is that Danny Sullivan?
Yeah, that must be Sullivan.
Yeah, Cuts is out.
Now
he's been out for a while.
All these new kids listening to our podcast are probably like, "Who's Cuts?"
Yeah,
if you're an OG SEO, you know who Cuts is. Drop us a comment on the show notes and let us know if you know Cuts.
Okay.
We'll know you're in the OG club.
So yeah, I mean, this account's similar to John, but I think it's more official and we'll just post helpful information to read from the Google blog around updates and what might be affected.
A subtle difference there between Danny and John is that Danny is based in the US at the Google headquarters. Like he's in their main Google office. He meets with executives of Google. Whereas John is based in Switzerland, Netherlands or Switzerland. Yeah. And he might be a little bit more in touch with some of their developers who are working on specific projects or parts of Google, let's say image search or Search Console. He seemed really buddy buddy with the Search Console guys. Whenever I was at the Google event, they hung out the whole time. So, and they're from somewhere in the Europe as well. So like, there's some slight nuance in understanding like how they communicate. Is that John's going to be like, he knows more behind the scenes stuff with developers, whereas Danny's going to know like the vision of the company, that kind of thing.
Yeah. And then the last tutor kind of picked was an actual just SEO in New York. Her name is Lily Ray, and she just does really decent technical or like analysis of the data. So she'll get the Systrix data as soon as there's an algorithm update, and she'll just start pouring through it to see if she can see trends between the winners and losers. And it's really good analysis and super time consuming, and I can't imagine spending that much time on it, but she does. So
nice.
Yeah, check that out.
Cool. I mean, there's some official information out there. Google has a doc about core updates and what to look at if you've been affected by a core update. We'll definitely link that in the show notes as well. It's very interesting. Whenever we were reading it before this episode, I'm like, why do I not review this more often? This is like a perfect little SEO audit checklist. It's really
totally
good.
Yeah, it's amazing. So I hope that's helpful. You should now have a good idea of what to look for if you open your SEO Edge some morning and see some drops across the board or certain single pages affected.
Yeah, you've got a good starting point. And now you can do some of your own self-analysis and give it a little bit of time before you jump into our group and ask questions. But we still are there for you for that, right? You can still come into the Fuel Your Photos group, especially in our course group. If you're a course member, we're very active at answering those kinds of questions. And for our course members, even looking at Search Console with them to try to figure out what's going on. But yeah, for sure, seek help in these different communities if you get stuck. But hopefully this is going to give you some direction where you can come to the conversation with some data and some sources and some hypotheses, and then maybe someone else can give you some outside insight if you get stuck.
Awesome. And don't forget to subscribe and give our podcast a nice little 5-star rating if you wouldn't mind. And we'll be back next Friday with another episode.
All right. See you then.